This morning, as we go to the Lord in prayer, I do want to mention, you see in our prayer list, Wayne Holder. Wayne's will have a graveside service tomorrow at Turner's Chapel at 11 o'clock, if you're remembering that family. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we have gathered in this place. We have gathered in your name. We have come to worship you. Would you receive our worship from the depths of our spirit to your throne? May you transform us from this place and our circumstances into your holy presence and change us, that when we return to those circumstances, we shall be different. We shall be equipped. We shall be your sons and daughters, ready to face life's challenge. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We are God's people. 383. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we come today giving thanks for all the many, many blessings you have done for us and given to us. Please guide, lead, and direct us. Give us words, wisdom, action, patience, and understanding to do thy will. Please accept and bless these tithes and offerings so we might use them for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We got any more children? Hey, how are y'all today? We got something special today. Maybe. You saw that red thing stick out there? Guess what we have today? What is this? A rake. What's it for? Huh? Rake leaves? Okay. It is to rake leaves. Can you use this rake? Yes. It's about your size, isn't it? All right. Can you rake leaves? No. Okay. I think you can if you try. It's almost fall, isn't it? But the leaves are going to be falling, so we're going to have to rake some, aren't we? Where do you rake when you rake? Where do you help? What? Who do you help? Your grandpa? Okay. Okay, help grandmother. Could you help someone in the community? Someone else in the community? A neighbor. There you go, a neighbor in the community. Pastor Gary's already talked about the community. Well, we need to help our community, don't we? What is a community? Let's learn what that means. A community is a group of people living in the same place. A group of people living in the same place. And those people have fellowship with each other. People in the community should care about each other. Some communities are small and some are big, but we should care about each other. So if someone has a problem, what should we do? Help them. That's exactly right. We should help them. Sometimes people are sick and they can't get to their mailbox. What could you do? Go get the mail for them. Go get the mail. Sometimes people have trouble walking. And, you know, some of the men in our community go to their house and build a ramp so they can get in and out of the house. They might need some yard work done, like raking leaves or picking up sticks. Could you do that?
Yeah.
I think you could. Could you help in the house if someone needed help? Yes, you could. You could do lots of things. Do you know that we also help people sometimes we don't even know? People that have trouble in another community, maybe from a hurricane, a tornado, floods. They need lots of help, don't they? Sometimes a group of people go, and it's called a mission trip. They go to another place or another community. They take food, they take clothes, they help rebuild a house. You might not could rebuild a house, but you could do a little part, couldn't you? Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us that we need to live and work together in those groups of people in our community. We're in a community, we form a very special bond with each other, a special group. Like our church, Flat Springs, we should be a special group of people working together and loving each other. And then we go a little further, we could go to our community called Deep River. We could spread out and work in the Deep River community. And then we spread out to a bigger community of Sanford. That's the town where we live. And then the state where we live is what? North Carolina. So that would be a bigger community where we need to help. And then the next bigger community would be the United States, all 50 states. That's another big community where we should work together. And then the next step would be the world. The world. In our scripture I'm going to read, it's going to talk about going out to the world. Let's read that now. I'm going to read Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is God this is Jesus talking to his disciples. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations,'" that means the world, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." All right, so when we help others, we need to help here, and we need to spread on out to each community, even out to the whole nations, the whole world. When we help others, we show God's love. That's what we're doing. God wants them to be a part of his community, God's community. So when we go and help people, we should share God's love and tell them about God's community. And then they have to ask God to let them be, to let him be their Lord. Okay? So remember, you are big enough to help people. You're big enough to go out into the community with somebody to go with you. You're big enough in your neighborhood to go help somebody in your neighborhood. The slightest little thing you can do, just a little visit, would really, really help somebody. And they would see God's love in you. Okay? And if you can rake leaves, I think if you found a rake this size, you could do that. Okay? All right. Let's have our closing prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for bringing these children here today. Help us to understand that we should show your love through helping others. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Never understand that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I've got is hurt and these four words: thy will be done, thy will be done, thy could never think. It's hard to count it all joy, distracted by the noise, just trying to make sense of all your promises. Sometimes I've got to stop, remember that you're God and I am not. So thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done. Like a child on my knees, all that comes to me is thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will. I know you see me, I know you hear me, Lord, your plans are for me. Goodness you have.
Excited to sing this next song that I've let it slip that Lou Ann was singing. 217, Oh How I Love Jesus. Now, when we're singing the chorus, I want you to lower your books. Everybody knows this chorus. Lower your books, look up, see the face of Jesus as you're singing this to him. Let's stand as we sing, please.
There is a name. Psalms 46, 1 through 3, and 8 through 10. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in times of trouble. That is why we are not afraid, even when the earth quakes or the mountains topple into the depths of the sea. Water roars and foams, and mountains shake at the surging waves. Come see the works of the Lord, the devastation that he has brought to the earth. He puts an end to wars all over the earth. He breaks an archer's bow. He cuts spears in two. He burns chariots. Let go of your concerns. Then you will know that I am God. I rule the nations. I rule the earth.
Thank you, Grace. Linda, it's good to see you sitting there. We are grateful that you are feeling better and pray for you continue to improve. Do remember Ruth West, who is supposed to have surgery this Tuesday, but is not feeling well today. And then also note that Jamie Beauvair is currently in the hospital. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we sang, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Grace reminded us, you are our refuge. Martha has called us to understand we are a part of community, and Luann challenged us to allow your will to be done in all our life. Already we have worshiped you. Would you continue to guide us and direct us as your people, as we lift up people who have needs in our community, as we become mindful of people who don't know you and the pardon and forgiveness of their sins in our community, as we recognize the brokenness of our community, we pray, you who are the God of our community, that you might speak to us and make us strong citizens of glory, that we might be missionaries here on this earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Father, grace upon Father.
Thank you, choir. What a wonderful reality, grace that is greater. We're going to end up there in our message today. Turn with me to Jonah chapter 3. Usually when we come to this passage, we think of a whale, a great fish. Remember the Sunday school teacher that was teaching this to her class, and when she got through with the lesson, she asked, "So what is the moral of Jonah?" And one little boy said, "Backsliders make God and whales sick." And you know, that's not a bad lesson, is it? But today I'm going to do something a little different. I'm not going to talk much about the whale or Jonah's disobedience or even his anger at the end of the story. In fact, I'm not going to talk much about Jonah at all. Instead, I'm going to talk about Nineveh, a community, a broken community. And a community that, in the midst of a Jewish heritage, you remember the Old Testament is the sacred rite of Israel, and Nineveh is a group of Gentiles. And for them to have any prominence at all, and especially to take the role of hero in our story today, well, it must have been a difficult read. And I might suggest it still is a difficult read. For in it, I think God gives us a prescription, a recipe, a blueprint, if you will, of how to be healed as a community. Jonah, chapter 3. We're going to begin to read in verse 6, and we'll read the rest of the chapter. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. Now, Jonah has come and brought the message that God is going to destroy Israel. He's going to destroy Nineveh in 40 days. In fact, in our verse a little bit, it says, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Then in verse 6, we find these words. "And the word reached the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne. He removed his robe. He covered himself with sackcloth. And he sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast nor flock taste anything," a fast. "Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mighty to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows?" I love that. "Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish." You with me on verse 10? You got to see this. Grace that is greater than all our sins. Verse 10. "When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented." Another verse says God changed his mind of the disaster that he had said he would do to them. And he did not do it. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you speak to us for a moment this morning, that we might become instruments of your grace that is greater than all our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Someone has said that misery loves company. So I guess I've got good news. There's a lot of company of broken communities. Remember back to the people in Noah's day? How about two cities that aren't on most folks' bucket list, Sodom and Gomorrah. How about Israel over and over again? In Assyria being taken out of the land. In Babylon being taken out of the land. And even Israel, when in 70 AD, she was totally destroyed. Communities need healing. Maybe today there's someone here today in your family and your family community needs healing. Maybe you're in a neighborhood and you have one of those kind of neighbors. And today there needs to be some healing. Certainly when we begin to watch the news and see all that's taking place in North Carolina and in the United States, we would say there needs to be some healing. And how about our world? Where even today, as we are here in this place of peace, there are people facing war and starvation. Healing for a broken community. Nineveh was broken. Their violence, the scriptures say, had come to God, and he had decided that he was going to do another Sodom and Gomorrah kind of thing. And Jonah, the first reluctant preacher, but finally the preacher that went and carried that message. When you read his message and you read what God said he would do, there is no if and clause. There is no, if you don't change, I'm going to send judgment. That's not what God ever said. That's not what Jonah said. The message God told Jonah to take to Nineveh was, in 40 days, you'll be destroyed. You'll be destroyed. You'll be utterly destroyed. You'll be wiped from the face of the planet. You'll be as Sodom and Gomorrah. That was the message. A broken community. A community that realized disaster was looming 40 days away. A month and one-third of a month more, and they would be destroyed. And yet, the people did something amazing. They did something amazing. They took a chance on faith. They took a chance on faith. You didn't hear me. They took a chance on faith. How do we know they did that? By what they did. Let me very quickly this morning run through their list and remind us of some truths that might be what you and I need to be believing, what you and I need to be doing, what you and I need to be as the catalyst for God to do a great thing. The first thing they did was they believed God. They believed God. Don't get lost in my beliefs, but I don't believe we believe God anymore. I don't believe that we really believe we serve a holy and righteous God. I believe we have a watered down God, a weaker God, a God 0.004, a God who no longer demands purity and holy and justice and righteousness, but a God who says any way's okay, every way's okay, and it doesn't matter which way. We don't believe God. Bible says, God says, I am a jealous God. I am a holy God. I remember. They believe God. The people of Nineveh, unlike our people today, and unlike people in broken communities, don't believe that God is the answer. God warns us, he's not deceived, he's not mocked, that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. But our short memory too often leads us, well, a cliche has come to maybe drink the Kool-Aid? You who are old enough to remember all the way back to the disaster that took place in Jonestown. And you and I, we're tempted every day to drink the Kool-Aid of our culture, aren't we? We're tempted to think that, well, we know what the Bible says about God, but did you hear what CNN said? What about that guy on TV? What about that doctor on TV? What about that celebrity on TV? What about that football player on TV? They all say different things. The people of Nineveh took a chance on faith. They believed God. I believe that the hope for America, for the hope for Sanford, for the hope for Deep River, for the hope for my home and the hope for your home is that we need to believe God. We need to raise up a family that sees God as a holy God and a God who is worthy of our praise and worthy of all that we have to give Him. Well, how do we know they believe God? You and I can say, we believe God. I bet right now if I were to ask you, how many of you believe God? Every one of us. If nothing else, because we would anticipate everybody but us raising their hand, all of us would raise our hand. But how would we know? How would we really know? It becomes obvious in our text today. How do I know they believe God? Because they came with a broken spirit. In Isaiah, when King Uzziah died, chapter 6, the great prophet says, when he saw God, you remember that great theophany? That great, when he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his countenance filled the temple. And the seraphims came, and all those six-winged creatures and ministered to him. And one touched him with a hot coal from the holy altar. And Isaiah said this, woe is me. Woe is me. The English Standard Version says, for I am lost. King James says, for I am undone. They both say these words, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people, a community of unclean lips. How did he know? For my eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. When they believed God, when they saw God, when they recognized that the change was necessary, their spirit became broken. Things happen when we see God. And this is what I've discovered. Maybe you should think with me for just a moment today. The times I've seen God most clearly was when I was most broken. When I was most humble. Could I ask it this way? When's the last time you or I had that serious conversation with God about our choices, about our actions, about our decisions, about our way of life? How much of what we're seeing in this culture on the political scene, how much of what we're seeing on the entertainment scene, how much we're talking around the water cooler at work or around the backhoe on the job site, is always filtered through the seeing of God and the hearing of God and the believing God to be who He says He is. God gives us a recipe. I think it's so interesting. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. That's a favorite verse now. Maybe by now you're already memorizing it. It's a good one to add to your memory bank. Put it in a context. What's about to happen is the temple that Solomon has built is about to be dedicated. It's the opening of a new church, I would almost say. It's a happy time. We're all excited. We've been working and we built this beautiful temple. We built this beautiful church. And we're going to come together. And in the middle of that moment, God gives this prescription. And God kind of threw a wet blanket on the celebration. with this scripture. Because in the midst of everybody saying, it's all good, God says, yeah, but when it isn't. When it isn't. God knew. God knows. He gives this prescription. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, a broken spirit, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You see, you got to get that broken spirit before your prayer is where it needs to be and before you're going to see God's face. And then they'll turn. We'll turn. You and I will turn from those wicked ways. And then God says, and then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their community. I'll heal their land. Sackcloth and fasting and ashes, they were all outward signs of a broken spirit. What does a broken spirit look like today? I don't think God did this on purpose, but by now, if you haven't seen me up close, the 72 of you who have, and asked me what's wrong with my eye, and I jokingly said, Lunette and I have made up, and that was just a joke, okay? That was just a joke. It reminded me of something. I don't know what happened to my eye. Let me just go ahead and tell you. I think a blood vessel has broken. So I'll try to be prettier next Sunday, okay? Y'all pray for me about that. But it still looks the same from my side. It doesn't look the same to you, does it? Looks kind of nasty. But from my side, it looks like it always does. You look like you always do. I just wondered how that might be working. Do I sometimes fail to see what God sees? God sees the nastiness. He sees the broken vessels. But if we're not careful, we keep looking the way we've always looked. Are we beyond brokenness? Are we too proud, America? Are we too proud, North Carolina? Are we too proud, Flat Springs Baptist Church, to fall before the Lord with a broken spirit and say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner? You see, God can do some amazing things in a broken spirit. But He doesn't do them until we're ready. Look at the third thing they did. How I know not only they believed God and had a broken spirit, they bore responsibility. They didn't blame the prophet. That's often what happened. They didn't blame their situation. Well, it's those neighbors that cause all this violence. If they were better, we'd be better. The Ninevites didn't do that. They didn't blame their ancestors. And they didn't even blame God. In Phil Yancey's book, Reaching the Invisible God, he says these words. When Princess Diana died in an automobile accident, a minister was interviewed and asked the question, how could God allow such a terrible tragedy? And this is how he responded, Yancey quotes. He said, could it have been something that there was a man drunk driving at 90 miles an hour down a narrow tunnel? Now, just exactly how was God involved in that? Years ago, when Ray Boom Boom Mancini, a boxer, killed a Korean opponent with a hard right hand in the ring, at the press conference of the hurrying of the Korean's death, Mancini said, sometimes I wonder why God does the things He does. I don't think God threw that blow. In a letter to Dr. Dobson, a young woman asked the anguished question, 4 years ago I was dating a man and became pregnant and I was devastated. And I asked, Why have you allowed this to happen to me? That was God's fault. Some of you may remember Susan Smith, the South Carolina mother, a couple of years ago, who pushed her car with her two sons strapped in to a lake and drowned it on a fictitious carjacker, and wrote in her confession, "I dropped to my lowest point when I allowed my children to go down that ramp into the water without me. I took off running and screaming, 'Oh God, no, what have I done? Why did you, God, let this happen?'" They bore responsibility. They didn't blame God. Is God responsible for these acts? Yancey goes on to say, to the contrary, these are examples of the incredible human free will being exercised on a fallen planet. And yet it's in our nature as mortals, frail, fallen people, to lash out and blame God. Today, if we will really bear our soul before God, we will be broken. And to prove it's been done, we must bear responsibility. Oh, there's a poem Keith Green wrote, "Asleep in the Light," and I'll just read a little bit of it. "The world is sleeping in the dark that the church can't fight, because it, the church, is asleep in the light." Let me rewind that. Play it one more time. The world, the culture, the community, the broken community in which you and I are a part of. The world is sleeping in the dark, yet the church can't fight because it's asleep in the light. How can you be so dead, he goes on, when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave, and you can't get out of bed. Oh, Jesus rose from the dead. Come on, get out of bed. How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Asleep in the light. When they bore responsibility, they behaved differently. They behaved differently. The way we know we've borne responsibility is because we change the way we behave. I love the parable. I've shared it with you several years ago, but hear it again. Of that community of ducks that waddle into church one Sunday, and their duck preacher stands and begins to preach. And he says to them, he says, "Ducks, God has given us wings, and God has given us the ability to fly. And with that ability, we can go places we've never been. We can do things we've never done." And all the ducks in the congregation said, "Amen, amen. We can fly." They sang, "We can fly." And more amens. All the ducks talked about how wonderful the service was. What a powerful message. What a great revelation. And then they all waddled out and waddled home. Brothers and sisters, you and I can fly. We may have waddled in, but we can fly out. We may have waddled in, but by the power of Almighty God, you and I can soar spiritually. And we can pour God's healing ointment on the brokenness of this community, and it will make a difference. But you and I must choose whether to fly from this place or to waddle home. The last point we know it worked is that they benefited from God's grace. Our choir sang so appropriately. God changed his mind. It was ironic that this week, I had a person at Fast actually ask me, did God ever change his mind? And I took them to this passage. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he was about to do. The ultimate way a community can receive the flying power of God is through his grace. God desires to forgive. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good news? God doesn't want to bring judgment, but brothers and sisters, judgment will be demanded and God will bring it. We need to believe God when he says there will be a day, there will be a reckoning, there will be a time when every man and every woman, every boy and every girl will stand and give an account. But he wants to give grace. And today grace is abundant. And today grace is here. And as surely as he was willing to turn from the evil that he was going to do to Nineveh when they took a chance on faith, he's willing to do the same in your life and in my life. From that great movie, if we're still looking for a movie, Abby, maybe the Jonah movie, VeggieTales. There's a song sung by Anointed in it, and the verses say this. If you say you're sorry for all the stuff you do, know that he's ready with a second chance for you. Praise the Lord, he's the God of the second chances. You'll be floored how his love and life enhances. You can be restored from your darkest circumstances. Our God is a God of second chances. That's good news. That's God's grace. When Christ looked out and pronounced, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Surely he meant the Roman guards that had nailed him to the cross. But I think he had Gary McCullough in mind too. And I remember when my spirit was broken and I accepted that reality and it changed everything. I wonder today, who needs a second chance? Who's tired of waddling? Who's ready to see a difference in your smallest community, your home? Maybe your neighborhood. Maybe we're what North Carolina needs. Maybe we're what the United States needs. Maybe we're what the world needs. Oh, wait. I forgot. That's already been settled. I just remembered. You remember it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not what? But have what? It's already been settled. The healing for the community is already here. God's already given us all the good news we need. Fly from here. Platte Springs, fly from here. Fly from here. Take a chance on faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your grace that is sufficient for all our needs. Thank you for your love that changes everything. That changed me. It changed every believer who's in this building. And Lord, can change every community from the smallest to the largest. Give us a vision that we might take a chance on faith and put our trust in you, the God of the second chance. In Jesus' name we pray. Our hymn of decision is page 384, The Bond of Love, page 384. I don't know what God may be saying to you this morning, but my prayer is God speaking. And you and I pray we're listening. And my prayer now is, as we sing this song, and I like what Jimmy said when we sang, "Oh, how I love you, Jesus," that we sing it to God. You're not singing to me. You're not singing to this church. But you're going to talk about that bond of love. Sing it to the Lord. And respond to Him however He may direct as we stand together. Be involved in all the areas where you need to be involved this week. We have many places that you can go and be a part of, and much going on, mission opportunities for service in so many ways. Be praying for Awana as they crank back up again, started last week, and we're excited about what they're continuing to do. A couple weeks ago, we're excited about that ministry. And Journey is still Journey. And we're very proud of them. Be remembering Becca in a very special way. I think actually next Sunday will be her last Sunday with us before she goes to run the world race. So you'll want to speak to her especially next week. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in God's power and in God's abiding presence, that we might fly as His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray? God, go with us from this place. Use us. Hear us as we believe You, O God. Hear us as we break our spirit before You, as we bear our own responsibilities, as we behave differently, and as we benefit from Your marvelous, marvelous will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
God's grace.